Hello, I'm Bill Sisson, Executive Director of WBCSD North America, and welcome to another edition of Transformative Leadership in Business. Today, I'm going to be joined by Judith Weiss. She is the Chief People and Sustainability Officer and Managing Board Member at Siemens. Judith, thank you for joining me today live in here in New York. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's great to be here.
Siemens is a huge company, I think, by anybody's imagination. And today we're going to talk about that and your leadership involved in steering the transformation of this company that has such a diversity of business interests. And I personally spent many years at a similar company here in the U.S. that had its own challenges of embedding sustainability across a very diverse portfolio. And given today we're really faced with a demand for corporate accountability in many markets around the world, I'm certain it's even a greater challenge for a company like yours, Judith. And one of the things we've recognized that's a critical transformation priority for our members is on climate-related corporate performance and accountability and the systems that enable the investors and capital markets to align with the values of a company so that companies can be better rewarded for their leadership in sustainability efforts and serve to mobilize value chains that they are a part of. So we see this world with an increasing demand for transparency and accountability on a company's efforts to combat the climate emergency. This world, as you know, Judith, has shifted from voluntary to mandatory disclosure, with an increasing expectation for credible, comparable, and consistent information. So let's start. Judith, you call yourself a people person who likes listening to their stories and what makes them get out of bed in the morning. So I'm going to turn that around to you. And let's start with a little bit about yourself and the role you play at Siemens and what motivates you to get out of bed every day and drive this critical agenda for such an important company.
I think it's a super privilege to kind of have people and sustainability in the job title. That was a huge attraction and still is for me to get out of bed every morning and to drive this agenda with energy. I think that people are a large part of what we're driving the sustainability agenda for ultimately, because I always say the planet will take care of itself. It's just going to take a few more eons for the planet to sort itself out. And that means mankind is distinct. So at the end of the day, we're doing this for people. And then, you know, closer to home, I'm a big believer that at the end of the day, businesses, any organization really, is about energy. And it's the energy that we either get from an encounter like this, or, you know, maybe it's a toxic environment where energy is sucked out of people. And I think one of the things that I get out of bed for in the morning is to create an environment where that energy comes together and actually does magic.
So cool. People and that interlinked relationship between people and energy, and people really at the root of the solution, not just the problem, right? And maybe that leads us to really a really interesting thing I've heard about with Siemens, something that's called the trust equation. And perhaps you can tell our listeners a little bit more about this concept and what it means for Siemens.
Yeah, so trust is an interesting thing, isn't it? It takes a long time to build. It takes a second to destroy. And we talk about trust in a number of ways. One is the speed of trust. How do you actually empower people to take decisions? And how do you really make sure that people have a chance to take decisions that they were effectively hired for? And in today's world, you don't want things to run up the chain of command, come down the chain of command. So I think trusting people to get on with what they're actually fully capable of is one of those things. The other thing is, if you have a look at who do people trust these days in a world where trust is eroding and a lot of institutions like the government, media, people look not only to businesses, but specifically to their employer to say, how are we making sense of the world? Where are we headed in terms of North Star? And what does it actually take to get there? So I think this is where we as Siemens play a huge role for our people. And then when you think customers, and this is where maybe the equation resonates the most, it's about credibility, it's about reliability, intimacy, and the denominator is self-interest. We've been around for 176 years. People trust us, our customers trust us in terms of capability. We have the credibility of many years of delivering capably against issues that they are dealing with. Reliability is doing that repeatedly. And intimacy at the end of the day is what's the kind of relationship that we have? And do I think that you come in this just for your own agenda, or is there a mutual agenda in here? Is there a mutual win? And so this is how we look at trust, also in client relationships. And this is where I think you build this over time. And you build it again and again, and you need to make sure that you remain credible and reliable over time.
Not surprisingly, you started with people, right? It's about giving people the trust to do what they need to do, to deliver what's being asked of them. So I think that was sort of one thing I picked up. But Siemens is a trusted brand. That's huge. You never want to compromise that.
No.
Siemens is known worldwide for many different products and services. And certainly those two things are interlinked. It's back to the point we talked about earlier, the power and the energy of people to drive the trust, hold and retain the value of the brand. That's really, really important. Trust is earned, not given.
Mm-hmm.
I love this trust equation. I want to know more about it. But now let's flip into the other side of trust, which is building trust in how you present yourself to the market with that important brand. I've read a little bit about the Ecotech label, but not enough to really be dangerous. But maybe you could tell me a little bit more about what this label is and build it into how this is really reflecting on your commitment to transparency and disclosure and accountability and trust.
Thank you for the question. And maybe I'll take you back before I jump into Ecolabel to some of the things we've been doing for a long, long time. So we've been doing sustainability reporting for almost two decades. So in terms of transparency and really giving data around how we're managing with regards to sustainability, that is a well-trained muscle. We've been doing that for a long time. I joined in October 20, and in June 21, we went to the capital markets with what we call the degree framework. So we translated ESG into decarbonization, ethics, governance, resource efficiency, equity, and employability. So we define six dimensions by which we look at the environment, social, and governance. Whilst we had long-standing commitments around carbon zero, we wanted to make sure that along all of these dimensions, we express an ambition level. So in a way, degree is our rallying cry, it's our commitment, and it's what we're happy for the world to hold us accountable to. This is one of those things where I also learned a lot about Siemens from a cultural perspective, because internally it was quite the discussion and many iterations until we landed on ambitions and KPIs and making that measurable. But the wonderful thing about an engineering culture is what gets measured gets done. The magic of really getting the degree framework now operationalized has worked super well for us, because the time of making big declarations about what's going to happen in 2050 or 2030, they're long gone. So this is really our way of saying what we want to achieve by 2030, working that backwards to 2025, and then really going after it. And so one of those degree targets or KPIs is how do we build robust product in terms of eco-efficiency? And we wanted to make sure that we really deliver transparency around our products as well. This is where life cycle assessment, environmental product declarations are the name of the game. And we've basically now taken that and said, we'll turn that into an Ecotech label for Siemens. And we're now biting off product group after product group to say, how does this product perform? What are the kind of materials used? What happens in operations? What's the value extraction, circularity aspect? So those are the things that our customers can now read out of that product declaration. And I'm happy to give you an example as well.
Well, let's do that in the next question. I actually just want to replay a bit how you built this. What it suggests to me is a company starting out its sustainability journey is not going to start out with an Ecotech label. They're not mature enough to represent, they're credible in the marketplace to do that. But you built credibility through your degree framework in such a way as the Ecotech label was just an obvious extension of how you presented yourself to the market. I think that's really powerful. And so yes, let's build on an example around what's curious to me is how markets are shifting. They're looking for this information. And maybe you could reflect on the example and how it's impacting the customers that are utilizing or wanting more of this information.
a lot of momentum has been created just in the last 2 to 3 years. If I had to put a calendar date to it, I would say it's probably been summer 21, fall 21, where I would say that the number of customers ringing up and also asking for help has vastly increased. It's a lot of companies that are consumer facing. Say our consumers are much more sustainability conscious, so help us with that. Some come from the regulatory aspect. They say, gosh, you know, all of these things that are coming our way, you know, can you help us with how to look at that? And then, of course, some of our customers are distributors. So they want to understand how our products exactly differentiates from those of the competition along a number of dimensions. And sustainability is becoming increasingly important in that regard. There's a variety of motivations and triggers, I think, that have given this whole discussion a lot of momentum.
You and I maybe both come from a world where sustainability used to be almost a PR, a public relations approach to representing the interests of the business. This is a great example of how sustainability is now embedded in decision making and increasingly is a factor in perhaps even cost in some cases, how customers and consumers are choosing products that they want to have in their portfolio.
The nice thing about the Siemens portfolio is that there's no contradiction between one and the other. We think that a good 90% of our portfolio either directly impacts sustainability outcomes, so a product like SeaGreen that measures actual product carbon footprint, or that we have enabling technology that you could use in a number of different ways. Think digital twin, a simulation. You can do that for cost outcomes, you can do that for energy efficiency outcomes, you can do it for less carbon. So there's a huge overlap between who we are and sustainability outcomes that we can drive for our customer.
Siemens is a company that's built on innovation. Your original products were Siemens is an innovating brand and changing lives and lifestyles as a result of the products you put into the marketplace. So let me ask you, in the spirit of not disclosing any secrets, can you tell us what's on the horizon when it comes to how these two agendas are now intertwining, sustainability priorities with your innovation priorities? Can you give us a glimpse of maybe your future?
I'm very happy to do that. I think one of the big questions that we're currently looking at is how can we drive circularity much more? What does that do in terms of product propositions? We're moving software into software as a service models much more. But of course, there is also things like product as a service. Are we going to take things back? There is energy as a service. So there are customers where we're really helping to make it less of a CapEx, but an OpEx investment. We're making promises around the outcomes rather than asking people to invest upfront. So there's a number of really exciting things on the horizon in terms of business model innovation, as much as there is in terms of product innovation. I mentioned SeaGreen is one of them. This is blockchain technology where we basically help entire industries, the chemical industry, the automotive industry, to capture the actual product carbon footprint in a way that information can actually travel from one legal entity to the other without infringements. So that would be one. We're using our Siemens Financial Services to invest in technologies that are on the horizon, like direct air capture, things like that. So yes, we're at the forefront of many of those things.
What about AI?
Well, AI is just putting things on steroids that we've been doing anyway. I mean, if you look at the Siemens portfolio in very simple terms, it's around digitalization, automation, electrification. All of that contributes to sustainable outcomes. AI is just going to put this on a different ballgame when it comes to generative AI. But Siemens has been doing industrial AI for more than 30 years. We have 1,400 AI experts in the company today. It's one of our core technologies. It's one of our core expert areas. And what's happening now is that if you think shop floor, we have the chance to literally let the robots come out of their cage because now we can communicate with them in normal language. So no longer coding required, but you can really, as an engineer or as somebody on the shop floor, interact directly. And of course, there are many other ways by which also the generative AI will impact other parts of our operation from a productivity perspective. But all of this can also be, again, put to use in the sense of sustainable outcomes, because it just fires up a lot of the technology we have today to be even more powerful tomorrow for customers.
All right, I'm going to do a plug for you, Judith. Engineers and scientists of the future, I think Siemens is going to potentially be a very exciting place to work. It already sounds like it is. 1,400 AI experts already in your organization. That is amazing. So think about all the career steps you've made along the way. What's surprising you the most, perhaps in the last 5 years, when it comes to how people are thinking about sustainability in their decision making and how they see leadership and other factors that are surprising?
I think it's just become so much more front and center of what people are putting into that consideration set. For instance, when they're choosing an employer, the notion of we're in the business of technology with purpose is working hugely for us by telling those stories of how we can bring technology to life for people. So from an employment perspective, I think that's a huge factor of attraction and retention, of course, for us. We've been educating both our 320,000 in terms of boot camp, base camp type sustainability efforts, but we've also invested in our top 200 so that we speak one language when it comes to sustainability, and that we look at this really as a strategic opportunity. And we've now hardwired green skills all the way through, because think about the non-financial reporting that is going to be in the future just as important as financial reporting, at least in a European context. Think of all the R&D product designers who now look at a completely different dimension of product development as well. So I think this travels all the way through. And so therefore, I think from various stakeholders, it has become increasingly important. And by the way, also for our supervisory boards and, of course, our investors as well.
Judith, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you today. Really looking forward to more from Siemens. You've excited me. You've encouraged me to look at some of the things you're doing. And thank you for truly being a transformational leader.
Thank you so much for your time, Bill.